When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey there, Vault Dwellers. Follow us as we take a topic from the Fallout universe and discuss it in a group of diverse individuals. We are the Fallout Roundtable. Join us, the conversation has already started.
Welcome to another episode of the Fallout Roundtable. I am your host, as always, Maverick. Today we have an episode for you, another episode, and today we will be talking all about story time. It's story time. But before we get to story time, how about I introduce everyone else? How about Jaxus and Sassy Lady? How about you say hello?
Hi, how you doing? I'm alive.
Hello, we're alive. On this fine Thursday.
He's Red Bull, but he's like, hi.
Yeah, Ezra.
I know, right? He's like Mr. Caffeinated, but super mellow.
Yeah. Like, take the coffee, take the Red Bull away from him, and I bet he'd be bouncing off the damn wall.
Right?
Yes, this is why I drink Red Bull.
Like, I am high functioning treated autistic. Himself.
Yeah, I am high functioning autistic. Everyone, both of these people know this.
So Red Bull's like Thorazine. Got it.
Take it away. We need him. Right.
It puts me to sleep pretty much.
Okay, sleepy. Let's get to the like, subscribe, and all that happy horse stuff.
Cool. How about you like, subscribe, and follow us on our YouTube channel, the Fallout Roundtable. You just search it up in search bar on YouTube. We have a Twitter or X, as they like to call it now.
I wouldn't like that.
I don't like it. I don't really like it either, but it's at FalloutRTB, and we also have a Gmail, FalloutRTB@gmail.com. We also stream this show live now on Twitch and Kick on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock p.m. EST, Eastern Standard Time, or you can do your conversions. I don't know. I will not do your conversions for you. But yeah, it'll go till 8 until we finish recording. We'll probably stay a little bit after, but that's pretty much it. So let's get into story time. For the first stories, how about we talk about experiences that you've had in 76, good or bad or indifferent, just your experience. It could be from the very beginning, very recent, anything. So
just 76, because that's probably my easiest remembered ones.
just for right now. Just for right now, we'll move on as we continue. But yeah, who wants to go first? Unless I can go first, because
why don't you go first since it's your idea?
Then
we'll know what you're looking for.
Okay, so I was playing this was before Wastelanders update, so this was very beginning. I was trying to push my way through to the to where the enclave bunker. I always forget what it's called, but so in that courtyard area where all the robots are, you know, the golf course and everything. So there are people shooting. There were like four or five people there already. I was trying to, you know, take the long way because when I got close to them, all of a sudden I hear explosions, and I'm like, I'm too new to deal with that right now. So I'm like, I'm going to take the long way. And somehow I run into a robot. And I accidentally hit the robot. And he chases me to Kingdom Come. And me being a little newbie gamer 76 guy, I'm like, I need to run. And then on top of it, I got exploded by an arrow. An explosive arrow by one of those guys. So, yeah, it wasn't that fun, but it's pretty funny now after the fact, but at that time I was raging because I'd literally just gotten there. I didn't check anything. So, yeah, story time.
So that was one of your experiences.
Yeah.
All right, I'll share, I guess. So this is one of the times I was doing a recon, or well, we were doing a mission as a role-playing group. And as the remnants, and I'm walking along, and I can't remember exactly everybody that was there, but Knight Taylor was definitely there, and I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head right now. I can actually just go over to our thing and see what his name is real quick. Remnants. Riker. Yeah. Okay. God, I can't believe I couldn't remember his name. No, not that Riker from like Star Trek. No, but this guy is kind of creepy sometimes, and he's a little weird. And so we make fun of him a lot. Huh?
The guy that you play with is a little creepy?
Yeah. Knight Riker. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's just a little odd. And so we, you know, make fun of him a lot. And I mean a lot.
Kind of like how you make fun of me.
No, not even, not really in the same tone, because I don't think you can handle what we did to Riker.
Wow.
In other words, he might make you cry.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. If I was to let loose on you, you wouldn't have a good day. So we decided that since Riker's such a creepy dude, we were going to collect gnomes for him so he could have friends. While we were doing missions out in the middle of the wastelands, anytime we came across gnomes, we would collect them and we would save them and we'd count them to see how many we would get. So we knew how many friends Riker actually had. So we traveled around as we were doing our missions, and you know, that was part of the thing that made that particular thing funny at that moment. But as we're doing our missions, the other thing that happens is a couple of guys start coming down and they start following us around. And of course, they're trying to talk to us and try to break our immersion from our role-playing group, because we're trying to be soldiers and stay within mission and whatnot. And we're like, hey, civilian, how you doing? And then these guys would be like messing around. They're talking jokes and they'd run their mouths and start shit. And then I was still kind of new to the game, so I didn't know how the PvP thing worked. Like if somebody smacks you, smack them back, you get engaged in the PvP. Yeah.
Yeah. I get where this is going.
Yeah,
oh,
so
this is gonna be funny.
Like, they're making fun of me and they're messing with me, and I'm kind of just ignoring them, right? Until one of them hit me, and so I hit him back. And this guy's got like he's like level 1,000 or whatever, you know. And so he decides he just wants to smack and kill me because I'm like level 50 or something at the time, and. You know, and so once that happens, every time he comes back, I keep hitting him and he keeps killing me. And my team's going, stop hitting him. Because they're like,
yeah,
we got this, right?
I'm defending myself.
Well, you know, in my own pathetic way, right? But at the same time, so Knight Taylor goes, just stop hitting him. I got
right.
this.
Right.
And so as soon as I said that, Knight Taylor logs out, logs in under his real account.
Right,
and then just devastates them, wipes the floor with their like they were.
He's
not
like,
even
"Psych,
there.
I'm Boom. Not a level 50."
He beat them down so bad that they stopped. They left. They didn't gonna come back.
That's
you
cool.
know. So that was like my first experience of what Knight Taylor can do.
That yeah. must have been fun.
Yeah, well, yeah, because
it must have been glorious to watch.
It's like, you wait till my big brother comes along.
my big little like tiny memes. Brother, because he's like, I don't know, 12.
Who, Knight? What,
if
KT's
you were to look
like
at
12?
Knight Taylor, you would think he was 12
yeah,
years old.
He's like 12. He's like 7 feet tall.
Yeah. He's like a mountain tall dude. He's skinny as a rail, but like you just look at him and he looks like a 12-year-old kid.
He looks like he's 12.
He's going to be 12
yeah, I was
forever.
Just looking back at pictures from last year's Foshnot, and I was like, oh my God, that guy.
And the thing is he's such a mild-mannered good kid, like, and I don't want to call him that. He's such a mild-mannered good man that
yes.
you know, it's just.
Yeah, because he is a legal adult.
Yes. the way he is, it's just funny to watch him when he actually goes, okay, and then just wipes the floor with somebody. And I'm like, okay.
It must be glorious to watch. That's
kind of cool. Well, dude, you put so much.
Watching him in action at all is pretty fun because, like, you can't keep up with him. Like, you're like, hey, we're running this. You know, we're doing this expedition and I want to do my share. Yeah, but he's like, just like, oof. Pop, 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 run, pop, pop, pop. And it's like, there's boom, nothing boom, for boom, me boom. To do.
Yeah,
at least let me get a shot off.
Well, he will. But it's just like, literally.
Oh, he'll back off completely and just watch.
Yeah, you know, he'll literally, like, I can stand there and shoot everything. So and he'll be like, I'm just waiting to see if you need me. You know, like, he'll wait and he'll be like, if you get overwhelmed, let me know. You know, he can do that, too.
That's because he can solo everything.
He can. Yeah. He can. Yeah. Like, there's nothing he can't do. There's nothing he doesn't have.
Yeah.
He's like, you need that? I got it. You need that? I can make it.
I got 8 of those.
Right. You know? I mean, that's what you get when you, like, play this game as much.
Well,
as
and a lot of the guys from my role-playing group, a lot of them are like that. Like, they're well up there in level, and they've got everything in the game, all that kind of stuff. But I kind of miss hanging out with those guys. I had to stop for a while because it's just.
I like playing with KT. Yeah. Whenever I can catch him streaming, usually, like tonight we would record and then I would get off and go jump in with KT because he'll be streaming on Thursday nights usually.
Yeah.
But not tonight because he's out of town. But.
Oh, yeah. Because I was actually, I jumped into your guys' or into his stream last week, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
Jumped in there and watched for a little bit. I saw you guys.
He wasn't really. Was that? No, it was Saturday. Yeah, Thursday I didn't get on his server with him.
I don't know what
he was
doing. I think he killed.
He wasn't doing much.
He was at the time he was inside the bunker trying to set up for a nuke.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of nukes because they were celebrating his 1,000th follower. And then Saturday he did the whole big celebration. And I got on with that early enough that I could get onto his server for that. And we did that. We ran expeditions. And then... Because one of the events that's running currently, so everybody hates on expeditions. So I guess this will be my story. Everybody hates on expeditions, and because
I'm
they're
one of
too
those
hard.
I'm one of those
well,
people.
Okay, so you know what? I actually don't mind them. I don't like daily ops because they're timed or you get no rewards. The thing I like about expeditions is you can solo those as long as you're willing to die a couple times. You know, and yes, some of these bosses are bullet sponges as long as you go in with enough bullets, because I don't need a lot of healing things, because I use a lot of vampire weapons, especially when I'm dealing with big bosses. I'll use a lot of vampire weapons, but some of these things just take forever to die, and they're all level 100 and they're like, whatever their damage is, you know, their resistance, and you know, it just, and then of course, if you don't kill the, like in Atlantic City, if you don't kill the pollinator things first, they're going to heal up the other things. It's just annoying as heck. But
kind of like in
take those things out first.
Far Harbor, you gotta have those.
You want to take those things out first, and then it's like the other things go down fairly easy. Otherwise, it's like they just keep coming back. But so, you know, I've run Atlantic City expeditions with KT like numerous times, but he does like these 5-minute runs where it's just like run and gun, run and gun, run and gun, boom. And he knows where everything is. So I had no idea where any of the
it's
objectives
so weird when
were.
You guys call him KT.
Huh?
It's find it weird when you guys call him KT.
Well, Knight Taylor, KT, you know.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I couldn't
My
call him
enemies
Knight Taylor.
Call me Knight Taylor. My friends call me KT.
I just call him Taylor.
That's right.
We're
That's
both
right.
knights. That's all
For Taylor,
I just call
yeah.
Taylor.
Well, yeah. For you guys. I'm not a knight.
Man, I might be man, day, we need to get him back on here.
But, he would probably do that.
Anytime.
I'll talk to him this weekend and see when he wants to come back. But
yeah, that'd be awesome.
Schedule's a little different now.
I get that.
I decided after we got done with his stream, I pulled almost an all-nighter. It was bad. But when we got done with his stream Saturday, I still had part of the Burning Love event that's going on right now was to kill. You had to use the flamer to kill a certain number of the heck are they called now? The stupid enemies that are in Atlantic City and their name just the Overgrown or whatever they are. It went right out of my head. And I only got like 6 of the 10 that we had to have when I was running with him because I didn't keep up well enough, I guess. So I was like, well, I need to go back and get four more. So I went on my private server so I could take my time, because I decided I'm going to take pictures since I'm going by myself. And I went in there and I was like, all I have to do is go in there and kill these four things to get my, you know, reward or whatever for the burning love thing, and then I'm out. Well, I ended up staying. I ended up, it took a while. I don't even know how long it took me, but I did it. You know, I soloed it. And it was pretty good. And then I decided, I don't know if it was the next day or day later, I decided to go back and solo Tax Evasion. Now that was a pain in the ass. Not gonna lie. If you're gonna solo one, do the greatest game, because it's easier and shorter. And there's not as much as like involved. Tax Evasion, it's like, go do this and go do that and go do that and this other thing. And oh, and now you gotta do this. There's a lot involved. But I soloed both of them just for funsies.
Well, there's Sassy's story.
Told you can't time my stories.
Well, we're gonna get more soon enough.
Well, I mean, it was 76 oriented. It was a story.
Yeah, it was a story. I'm
it
not
was 76 oriented. It's expeditions.
Yeah, I'm not dissing it. I thought it was a great story.
No, yeah.
But you know,
I just like how it just kind of rolled right into it, though.
Yeah. The story went in there.
Hello. Expeditions, if you have enough perseverance.
I guess for me in expeditions, for
I just got bored really easy.
Yeah, I guess I'm in that same camp.
Really, I don't think the expeditions
I had
are
higher
bored.
Expectations is what it was. I think
I haven't
that's
soloed
was.
The pit. I might try that next.
I guess the pit sort of turned me off of expeditions.
Now, yeah, I found the pit more disappointing. And I think because of the fact that, like, we've talked about before, I think that too many people had like preconceived notions of the pit because we'd been there before and we liked it, you know, or whatever. And I think we all had like an idea of what we thought the pit should be. And then it was something else.
And well, we thought we'd be able to explore more and be able to interact with more.
And I think
there'd be some
kinda,
more familiar.
It was
kind of
like, here, you go this way and then you go this way. And
that's
then,
what
okay,
I know. Cause
no,
when I
out.
Did go with, I think I did go by myself one time and it was like, there ain't much here. You know, it's like two streets and then you got to go into that warehouse, which is like a separate thing, you know? And it was like, there's like the big warehouse or factory or whatever it is where you got to do all the put the stuff in the burning pots or whatever. I don't know, whatever it is, but
right. When you're running from room to room.
Right. And it's just like, that's it. There's that. And then there's that other warehouse and that's like literally all there is. And then, you know, you fight in the streets and that's all, but there's more to Atlantic City.
From what I've heard, Atlantic City is 10 times as better as the pit was.
Well, and then, because you've got, so each whatchamacallit, it's an expedition and then your event
location.
Or whatever it's called. Yeah, each, they're very different. You got the boardwalk and the aquarium versus two different casinos. And the hotel and then inside, you know, I noticed when I was by myself, because, you know, you don't really see anything when you're just running through doing the expedition stuff. But after, you know, I just like walked around and looked at stuff and checked out rooms I didn't need to be in. And there's all kinds of stuff there. There's notes everywhere. There's computer terminals. There's stuff to collect. There's
basically,
a lot of
they
stuff.
Put more thought and time into
I think so.
City.
And then the fact that this isn't even the whole thing. Like, there's already more to it than there is the pit, and this isn't even all of it. Like, we've got more coming in March. I'm pretty impressed with it, to be honest. And I personally enjoyed the quests more. To me, they were more fun because it's more centered around, you know, the Atlantic City gambling stuff and whatever. I mean, that was just kind of fun.
Yeah, I thought the pit was the pit.
Yeah. Kind of like the title of that episode.
Honestly, I didn't love that whole part of the pit where we had to go find the ingots and fight the trogs anyway.
Well, that and the other tragedy was us actually playing the game while we were on the show.
Yeah, like, while we were.
That was like,
that.
No, that was a bad idea. I was like,
that was a terrible idea. After I put it up, I'm like, that's terrible.
So, I think that just shows that maybe Bethesda was kind of listening. And I think that if they do more expeditions, which I'm sure they will, you know, take note, it probably needs to be like, and a lot of people were like, oh, let's
fun.
Go to DC
actually
again.
Fun.
Well, fun.
More fun.
But also a place that we've never been to so that we don't have these preconceived notions.
I think it should be like a, you travel to another area, and within that area, you've got a different kind of vendor and possibly like new products or something that you can get there, but you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
And,
that would be cool.
And have it where you can explore the around the area a little bit more. And there's like some Easter eggs or nuggets to find while you're there. It's stuff that gives you a reason to be there. It's kind of like,
and not speed run it.
Well, all right. So if anybody had ever played SW Tour, which is a Star Wars, game.
Yes, I played it.
You know, when you go and collect all the holocrons and you can pick them up from different planets and stuff like that. They should do something along that line, like
I thought they used to do that with bobbleheads.
Well, they do did that with the bobbleheads, but maybe they do need it with to some come tapes out. Or something. To
so
make
it would
a
be
mission
cool
out.
If they did, like if they brought back the whole snow globe thing.
Oh.
And they had like different snow globes for different expedition spots. That would be neat.
That would be
no,
cool.
So if we had a snow globe for the aquarium, if we had a snow globe for the casino, if we had a snow globe for the pit or whatever. You know, so that you're out there collecting the snow globes or whatever and make them like maybe really hard to find so that you're not just like pop over, pick it up and pop out, you know. Or like you said, like the vendors, didn't they do that with Nuka World? You could only buy like the Nuka World stuff in Nuka World.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing that made the holocrons very different was if you found a certain like, I keep sliding down in my chair.
It happens.
Now, every single one of these holocrons, once you find them, you get the perk that comes with it, and it's a permanent perk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you would do something along those lines. And what that does is it creates this unbalance within the balance. And what I mean by that is if you want to be that super uber PvP type player or something like that, you went and you hunted down all the holocrons.
Didn't
put the time in to find all those holocrons, then you were knocked down like a tier or two because you couldn't find, you didn't know where to go to find it or whatnot, or you didn't do the effort that it took to do the parkour to get to the damn thing. You know, those kind of situations create a dynamic where you can have top tier players that it creates something to go for. You know what I mean? It creates a grind element that isn't so much of a grind, but more of a bonus.
Yeah, I feel like they did the same thing in Fallen Order. After you complete the storyline, you could go back to places with your new powers and stuff. I know this is a Fallout show, but I'm just saying.
I drifted off into Star Wars world, but I use that as a.
I'm doing the same thing as an example.
What we'd like to see, but I think like the reason a lot of people do the grind is because they want the stamps to get the new plans that you can only buy with stamps because it's that new currency.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's certain things that you can only get with that currency. And that's what we're all grinding for. Cause I know like, as soon as I get enough, I'm like, cha-ching, I go get a new plan. And then it's like, you know, I'm back.
The only thing is they made
it
all cosmetic instead of like, you know, instead of enhancing the characters themselves in some way.
I feel like they've moved away a little bit from.
Think of
from
it from
special.
The point of view of somebody like Knight Taylor, who's grinded his way up so high
and got everything. Yeah,
yeah. It's like gives him something new to grind for, and once he does have it, he makes him super badass. Because if it does just 2% more damage, or you know something to that nature, and you're already at this high level, that maximizes your damage to a level that's even higher. Now, if they get to the point, now the only thing that makes that a drawback is the game automatically increases the level of the beast as you level up yourself, which
to a certain point.
That also kind of ruins the game in certain respects, because no matter where you go, that character that kicked your butt when you were level 10 kicks your ass at level 70.
Yeah, it's still there. He's still there. He's still grinding.
There should be areas that you run through that you could just wipe out everything and just keep on going quickly, you know. And then
I can't remember where, but there used to be.
And have other
used to be. We used to all go to Morgantown and knock out those level 10 ghouls all the time, and now they're not.
I still do.
Well, they're not level 10 anymore.
Yeah, they just progress.
You're not level 10.
Yeah, they progress as you progress. So
yeah, that's the big thing. Yeah,
I mean, they're still easy-ish, but they're not. It's not like the old days where they were all level 10, so you were one-shotting them right and left.
Yeah, I have another story going. So in the beginning, I was I still am. I always keep saying that.
You made the heavens and the earth?
Yes. I am God.
No, he didn't.
I am God. The camera
is that why the world's so messed up?
I just want to reach to the camera and slap him. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, I know. But I would always go. In the beginning,
he made his limited lightning. Yeah, he lost his train.
No, I know. I just can't get back. I lived and died. No, I lived and died by the 308 bullet because I was a sniper.
Yeah, we all do in the beginning. Because I rule in the beginning.
Yeah, and I still do. I still do. But
have you hit level 50 yet? I'm just curious.
No.
I'm
still in the 20s.
That's what I figured.
I don't play 76 that often. I play 4.
I know.
I like 4 better.
I'm getting ready to start playing 3 again.
Yeah, I never finished 3.
I'm going to start playing 3.
But
I should play 2 because that's the only one I haven't finished.
Yeah. I haven't played 3 since. I mean, 3 was the very first game I played, and I haven't played it since that run through. I've only played it the one time. So I'm kind of excited to play it again.
Yeah, it'll be like a new story to you.
It will. And it's been such a long time. And I was just watching.
No, you need to play New Vegas. You need to play New Vegas.
I will eventually.
You need to play
when it doesn't crash your machine.
The reason I'm playing,
all over it.
Well, it shouldn't crash on my computer. But the reason that I'm going to play 3 right now is I'm going to play with the Fallout feed because they're starting up. I keep watching to see when they're going to do their next group playthrough, and they just started 3, and I'm like, let me get in.
Hello.
They've already done New Vegas and 1 and 2, I think. So they're doing 3 now. So I want to jump in on that.
Well, yeah. So,
be fun. Thing is, I gotta roll a character that's not, or have somebody do that for me because I always play a certain way. So
it's the same thing in like D&D or whatever. You always have.
If somebody rolls something like, or if I can manage to do it like randomly, and then play something that's not normal for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel that. Goes. So yeah, let's go back to 76.
Tell stories. Who's you're up? You were starting to tell a story before your thought got smacked out of your head.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, so I would always go to the Morgantown Airport up in the control tower because ghouls are too stupid to climb up that control tower. Apparently, or scorched were too stupid to do that, and then I'd just pick them off one by one.
There's a way to do it.
Yeah. I would always go to the top. I'd always kneel. There was always a way if you go around the border, you could get to the one. There was one that you could get to from that was on the edge right there. That would always get you in the backside, but you would have to take him out first before you do that, and then all the scorch would be none the wiser. It was fun back in the day before all these updates came. So yeah, I like stories.
Trying to think if I have any funny ones. Another thing I like about KT is one thing I noticed I was playing with. So I played with this guy like back in 2021 and we used to play together, and he was always like, I don't know how he did it, but he always got all the good stuff. So like I got my really good fixer from him. I got like a lot of really good armor from him. My good power armor came from him. He had like all the good stuff. Like he traded with people. He had his finger on the pulse of the trade community. He had all the good toys. And we used to run around the wasteland together. And then 2021, he started his own business, didn't have time to game. Well, he's back now, but he's been gone for like 3 years. So he like comes to my camp and he's like, what's this? What's this? What's this? What's up? You know, and we're running around doing stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh, how did you get a tinker's bench in your tent? And I'm like, dude, you missed.
You missed a lot.
You missed a lot, you know. So we, you know, we try to go to a queen, and it's like, you know, one of those queens where you're like, it's basically done before you could even fast travel down there. Yep. Because whoever launched it, they were already there ready to take it out. The thing I like about playing with KT is when you go to a queen with him, when you go with Knight Taylor, like those guys are like, don't damage her too much because you got 20 minutes to kill the queen. They will take 20 minutes to kill the queen because in that 20 minutes, so many enemies spawn. You're like probably another Scorch Beast will spawn in that time. You'll get probably 4, 5, 6, 8 Death Claws. You'll get probably 2 to 3 Mire Lurk Queens. You'll get scads of Scorched, especially if there's an event going. It's a great time to get a
exactly what is a scad? Like, how many is that?
Scads, loads, butt tons.
That's another one. What is an actual?
I was trying to think of all the ambiguous weight measurements I would throw out at you, and I was like, what's I gonna think of? But they will wait that full 20 minutes. I leveled up 5 times at a queen. Normally, I'll only level up like 5 times at a Rad Rumble. So, I mean, like, normally, like, you go to a queen and I don't level up at all because it's like one and done, basically. But so I really enjoy doing queens with Knight Taylor. Sometimes I don't even bother to go, but I will always go to a queen with Knight Taylor.
Yeah, there are some.
That instances. Is a way to you do a queen. Anybody who's listening, that's how you do a queen. Queens are not meant to be killed in a minute. 1 minute queens, not how it's done.
Yep, treat it like your dates.
That's right. You got a wine or diner and show her some love.
Mm-hmm. So that's the guy who's still single and had to friend zone a couple people, but you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, some of us never had that problem.
Yeah. Yeah, this one person.
Guess it's coming from the married people to the single guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm okay. So going off that awkward.
Okay, so
about my status.
Your love life.
Yeah, my love life with Valentine's Day coming up, which.
Remember, you can be your own Valentine.
No.
Hey, my buddy had a meme he put out. He said your table for Valentine's Day, and it's a Burger King little corner, like, you know, those little single seats.
Yeah.
Like, this is my table for Valentine's Day.
No, there's a meme.
I hate this chair.
There
we have one like that upstairs.
There are a couple of my friends and I that are all under the same impression that Valentine's Day should be known as Singles Appreciation Day, because you shouldn't have to have a day for Valentine's Day to show that you love somebody. And yet that's my hot take. Yes. Single
Appreciation Day, also known as SAD.
In other words, everybody gets a trophy day.
Yes. I was
thinking of what your acronym would be, and it is SAD.
Yeah, what's your pronoun, dude?
I hate when people ask me that, to be honest.
What?
If you're sad?
No, pronouns.
Oh. What? He went there? Oh my gosh. That's okay.
But I hate when I like go to a business and they're like required to have them on their name tag, and I'm like,
God, I don't like that.
On my name tag, and
I don't like that. At all.
Is that a thing, but really? Okay,
it is a thing.
The local gaming store.
Anybody listening, I'm Generation X. You can watch enough YouTube videos as to exactly where we fall behind all this kind of crap.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the memes, we just, you know, we played in the dirt. You know, we.
Didn't I love dirt. Dirt was awesome.
When we were kids, our parents never knew where we were. That's just who we are.
Yep. You could do whatever you want. Just don't tell me about it.
Right.
I don't care.
We were out the door in the morning, and we came home before, you know, when the streetlights came on, and it was fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was fine. We were fine. Parents didn't know where we were all the time, and it was fine.
And but anyway, I do agree. Fine, let's take a break here, guys.
Yeah, before what? We go off the rails.
All right.
We go off the rails.
We had a rail?
Talk
what rail?
We never had a rail. Are you kidding me? We'll be right back after this commercial message.
Hi, welcome to Three Count Thoughts. Let me introduce the crew real quick.
Hi, I'm Maverick Stone.
I'm Romer.
And I'm Jaxus. Join us as we talk all things wrestling. Each week, we'll take a topic from the wrestling world, knock it around a bit, and then go over the week in wrestling from a strictly fan perspective. We can be found on all major podcast catchers. We can also be found at Three Count Thoughts on both YouTube and Twitter. Or you can send us an email using 3countthoughts@gmail.com. Okay, are you ready?
Ring the bell.
Welcome back, guys.
Okay.
I hope you enjoyed your break, whatever that be.
Okay.
Lightning.
Again.
Yes, lightning. No. Going back to what we were just talking about, I can be considered either a millennial or whatever that next generation is, because I'm right on that line.
The last one.
I am
last
like
generation. You're
Yeah, or the generation right after millennials. I'm like literally right where I fall is right on that line.
I think it should go from Generation Z to Generation Medicated.
Yeah. what was the meme that I had? What was it? We're the generation that acted like we were 30 when we were 10 and still act like we're in
30
like
when
we're
10 50.
When we're 50 or yeah, something
yeah,
like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, anyway, back to Fallout. Let's talk more 76, because that's basically where all the best stuff comes out of, because it's a multiplayer game. I mean, there's still some good stuff out of 3 and 4, some good funny stuff, you know, like the infamous Bethesda bugs that we all love and dear. But
we still have really good bugs. I mean, there's still bugs in Atlantic City. I was looking for, supposedly there was a legendary rare baseball bat in the manager's office of the casino. So I went looking for it. It's just a regular old baseball bat there for me. But the tax collector person that I had shot in the hallway was standing up dead in the bar of the office in a weirdly weird, janky position. Because, you know, he's dead. So he's like, you know, flopping. And I'm like, huh, that's neat. So, you know, we still have bugs.
Yeah. I had something similar, but it was more in 4 than 76. I blew this guy across the room, and his face was stuck in the wall, and he was ragdolling the entire time. It was really funny. I think I have a screenshot of it on my Xbox because I was just laughing so hard.
Oh, it's that inferior technology stuff. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, yes. I am a console player. I'm one of those people.
He's one of those.
Know about that. Not anymore.
I have to re-download 76 on my computer because...
So it's been so long since we've touched the Xbox. We finally, because we got new internet and it came with, like, you know, obviously new router and stuff like that. And my husband was like, well, rather than put it all the way on the other side of, you know, because of where the cable now comes in the house, it's actually cable fiber, whatever. He wanted to put it on the other side of the living room. And I was like, well, nobody's using Xbox. Let's just pack it up and put the routers and stuff up there. So yeah, we
like,
finally
pack
took
it
down
up.
That.
What?
Took down
no.
That old dusty Xbox and.
No, I have a Series S now.
No consoles in the living room anymore.
I have a Series 3, and that would be 360.
PlayStation. Oh yeah, we had a 360 and an Xbox One sitting up there, and they're
I have a 360. Fun. A one and an S.
I got a 360 that I paid $20 for, and I got almost all of my games for free.
My 360 always sounded like a plane taking off, you know, when the fan started up, because I think we get so hot.
Yeah, my 360 was getting up there where it sounded like a freaking B-52 bomber or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just like, there goes the airplane.
Well, and so all I did was, you know, I said, screw it. And I built my kid her own PC.
That's how ours started.
For what that does. And then I pay for Xbox Game Pass. And you can play everything on your Xbox on the PC. You just buy a controller. And so it's no different than an Xbox, except for the graphics are way better.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. So when my husband built Connor the computer, like, he never touched an Xbox again. And it was like, why do we still have that? Every once in a while, my husband will play his PlayStation. He's got one game that's a PlayStation exclusive. He'll play that very occasionally. That's it. Because we've got like a PS4. We don't have the new one. But other than that, everybody plays everything on PC in this house.
Yeah, because that's
easier.
Real technology. Sorry.
Well, I mean, we're already using the computer for everything else, and you have to update it for everything else.
I am never going to end up with a sponsorship from Xbox or PlayStation or anything.
So there's a rumor going around that Xbox is going to cancel the Xbox or Microsoft, whatever. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard that, nor do I care, though.
That consoles will go by the wayside. I'm assuming since you can play Xbox via Xbox app, why do they need a console?
Yeah, you could just use a tablet or a computer.
You can, and how many smart TVs you download apps on? I know
just
my TV can.
Microsoft can go back into like building computers and making computers better.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a rumor that that might happen in 2027. I don't know if it's true, but there's some people in some different gaming groups that are like, oh my gosh, what will I do without a console?
It's like, you will buy a PC like everybody else.
Well, you probably don't even need it.
No,
Xbox app can probably play directly on your TV.
Yeah.
All you need is your controller.
Well, and then you can probably attach the controller through your Roku or something.
Well, as of 2022.
Some of them are Bluetooth, so you don't even need that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. As of 2022, the Xbox One has been discontinued.
Yeah, I still have one. Anybody want it?
I have one too. I still play on it. It's pretty
good. That one I would probably, we might, but I think I've got 2 360s that I'm not using.
Because I don't have.
Are we still telling stories?
Well, we're just talking. We're just having fun here.
Just chatting. Oh,
just chatting. I just said stories, so we could probably make it Fallout related. But you know,
well, gaming Fallout related.
It makes sense. Because Fallout's owned by Microsoft. Microsoft is
Bill Gates' name in high school.
Yes.
Yeah, Twitter is losing their minds over that. That's the thing. Like the whole Xbox thing, like everybody's losing their crap over it because they're just like, oh my gosh. I mean, yeah, it'll be very different for people to not have a console, but yeah.
I mean, that'd just be, that'd be good for Sony, for PlayStation, because PlayStation's never going to go away.
Yeah, because if they're still making consoles and people are like, oh my gosh, they have to have a console. Well, then there's PlayStation.
Then there's PlayStation.
Or there's
PlayStation.
You know, you get you a Switch or whatever.
I have a Switch. I don't play on it, but I have one.
I know, we have one too. And I think the kids, they wanted it so bad. And I think they played on it for like maybe 6 months. And I'm like, well, that was fun.
Yeah, I still have mine.
I think Switch has got too little amount of games.
I agree.
Well, they get everything late because I know, like, they got Hogwarts Legacy finally.
And their games are kind of lame.
Yeah.
The games are kind of cheesy little kid shit. It's like,
well, the problem is like, I have such a hard time when I play on my screen that's like this, and then like, oh, I'm supposed to play on this? No. I can't do that.
No, I feel what Nintendo should do is go back to a Wii-type system where it'd be like your base console where you can connect to the TV and then have your controllers kind of like what the Switch does.
The Wii U was cool. I like
the Wii U. I never played it, but...
Well, we got it for the boys, and the reason I liked it was
Wii U.
They could play on the TV, or if I was like, knock it off, I want to watch TV, they could still play on the pad.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to like necessarily quit playing their game, and I didn't have to listen to everybody crying, I want to play my game. I'm watching TV. Go play on your pad. So, you know, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and it was a lot better stuff, too.
Right now, my kid's asking me for VR, so...
No.
Yeah, speaking of VR, did you guys see what Apple just came out with?
No.
Nope.
With the Apple Vision Pro?
Nope. Some more?
Nope.
It's their version of like VR, but you don't have like have the handheld things. It's just more like you're sitting there, you can see all around you, and you're just flipping through stuff.
Do they have like cameras in front to see where your hands are or something? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, how does it know what you're doing?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
It just can't. It came out. It came out.
I want a holodeck.
We're all gonna have computers like.
I want a holodeck. I want to go in there and like fight Worf, and you know, be on a Robin Hood adventure and have Q come and screw up everything. And oh,
y'all saw that Indiana Jones is coming, right?
Yeah, but yeah. Bethesda, we talked about it.
It actually looked pretty good. I like that.
Did look good. It did look.
Yeah,
really
it
good.
Looks really good. I can't wait. So excited.
So anyway, back to 76.
We're turning into a cyberpunk world. That is not wrong. Not wrong at all. I mean, like all the implants and stuff, and people want, you know, it's weird how people are just like, attach everything to me.
Attach it.
Yeah.
Turn me into real life Iron Man.
Yeah.
Make me fly.
I bet.
I want to fly.
I bet people would, if they had the option, they would do it.
I wouldn't mind having arteries that were failing replaced by cybernetics.
Did I tell you guys that they're looking at using nanotechnology to cure cancer?
Sounds good.
Because awesome. the little nanobots can go in and identify, they can like basically scan the cells, find the bad ones, and then pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, can you make it where it doesn't cost so much money that like poor
Probably
people
not.
Can't have any?
Probably not.
Yeah. I think they should make it where you could put a couple nanites in everybody and it just goes and repairs all their stuff.
Now that would be neat, but
that'd be scary at the same
what
time.
Else
don't put any
you?
Barcodes on my forehead.
Say,
and
what else are they putting
can,
in you?
Know, and don't make it where I'm paying for everything, you know, using just stay away from the biblical stuff.
They're going to download new technology into you and they're going to like corrupt your hard drive.
Just stay away from anything biblical. Okay. Let's not bring any prophecies to light. I just don't, you know.
Say it's all biblical at this point.
Absolutely.
You're messing with creation.
Well, I mean, we've been messing with creation since the beginning of creation.
Yeah, let's move away from that because I don't want to talk about that. Especially in this day and age.
Somebody's scurred.
Yes, I would like to keep my podcast. I don't want to be canceled by the canceled woke minority.
Uh-oh. What would that have to do with what we were talking about?
You know how people get sometimes?
Thought we were moving away.
Yeah.
Keep.
I thought so too. And then
got a story? Tell a story. Hi, Jax. It's your turn. Tell a story.
Sucker right back into it.
Tell a story, Jax. Tell a story.
There was once a little lady. Who is bringing out three very lovely girls? Oh, sorry, wrong story. I don't know. What would you like to do? Bears and what?
Oh. I think you wanted a Fallout story.
Give us a Fallout story.
Oh, a Fallout story. Okay.
Yeah.
There's this robot thing called Modus, and it's part of the Enclave, and then. Okay. There's this guy named Lawrence who writes these stories called the Modus Files, and they're really
good. Some pretty good stories.
Yeah. Yeah, have you listened to the most recent one?
Yeah.
No, I haven't gotten to season 3 yet.
Yeah, so
dude,
Valeria is
I am working through season 2 right now.
Dude,
Valeria, right now.
I heard it's good though. I heard it's really good.
Oh yeah, it is really really good. It's really good, and it's really. It's like, oh man, don't put a pin in this. Yes, Warpath, so are we.
I've actually had to listen to it twice because I'm like, oh my goodness.
My name is Frederick Rivers, okay? So I understand that you're in this. I got it.
Yeah. I like that the way he explained, like he explains why everything, like so like when the divergence occurs after World War II and nothing like comes forward from the 50s. All right, I'm trying to like skirt around all this. You know how technology remains the same and art and music and everything remains the same. He explains it. And I liked his explanation. Because Bethesda never has. They're just like, oh, this is just what, you know, the 50s and, you know, this is, we made the universe look like what the 50s envisioned the future would look like. That's what we got.
Envisioned flying cars, but we still don't have flying cars even in the Fallout universe.
Dude, have you ever seen the Jetsons?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I want to pack my car up in my suitcase and take it with me. I mean, good God, parking is expensive. So
yeah, parking is expensive wherever you go nowadays.
Yeah, I'm totally for the Jetsons. I think that
yes,
the Jetsons universe. But it's got to have his dog Elroy.
I think we're all part of season 3 Warpath. I know you're in it. I'm in it. You're in it.
I'm not.
Yes, I am also in Once Upon a Wasteland.
I play the doctor that is the one.
If you can remember the episodes where they're messing with the brain and they were trying to mess with their memories and stuff like that, I'm the doctor that actually repaired all of that. Yeah. And then I'm also the one that turned on the dude and changed his memories. Was it season 1? I'm not sure. I lose track.
I think it was season 2 because they're in season 3 now, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been around. I also am many voices in the True Vault Escapades in so many episodes that I don't even know what characters I played anymore.
I played Waitress.
I played Phoenix.
You're the Chronicles.
Yeah, I did that.
You know, I wanted to get into voice acting, you know, all this stuff, but then I realized I'm on the road. Even back when I was with my other company that I was with, where I was out from pretty much months at a time, it felt like where I had no Wi-Fi and anything like that, I sort of just gave it up because I'm like, I can't really do any of this. So I started writing stories instead.
So you have the time to write a story, but you don't have the time to
because it's easier to write
on the road than it is to record on the road.
Yeah, you realize that I recorded these episodes during that time period on my phone.
Remember how crappy his sound was sometimes?
Yeah, you remember how crappy that was, right?
Oh yeah, I still remember it.
That's why I just gave it up. There are still some instances where I still got to record on my phone, but
for it's these episodes better. Least, so.
Yeah. Yeah, because
phone technology has gotten better.
Technology.
Yeah.
Uh oh. Okay.
Oh, SpaghettiO.
Uh oh. So I've started writing more and more.
Actually, I need to get back into writing. I've been because we're running out of Fallout stories that are, you know, new ones and stuff like that. It's like True Vault Escapades and Once Upon a Wasteland, the only ones that have been kind of continuously going. And then Modus Files, it's like he seems like he's winding down on that. He might just start something else.
I know Brad said this was his last season for Once Upon a Wasteland, and he's not sure if he wants to do another one or not. I think we're all like, yes, please do another one. But I'm not sure.
Do another one.
If, you know, what he is thinking.
Another one.
I'm not counting the ones that have been here and gone. You know, there's actually quite a few of them out there.
Oh, there's some good ones.
There are some really good ones.
Omega. Yeah,
The first one I was Mind Something. Oh, what was it? I got it here.
Is that the same one?
No.
Vault 13. Yeah, they're very infrequent.
Well, and then there's like
Mind Fog.
Mind Fog. That's one. Yeah,
that was a good one.
Mind Fog was good, and then I just got to see it.
The one about Omega, I can't remember.
Yeah, Omega.
Whole name, is it the whole name? But it's like a diary, the way he does it. It's like a diary, which is cool.
Actually, I just scrolled
it. Well, it's like he records holotapes.
Mind Fog, the Fallout feed, Omega Broadcast.
Omega Broadcast, Fallout
Story Podcast, and then a Far From Heaven is another one.
Oh, yeah, she quit. Yeah, but that was really good.
That was pretty good.
I auditioned for her, and then she just quit.
And then, of course, there's Chad.
Yeah.
On a Wasteland. I've never been in Chad, a Fallout 76 podcast. That's one I have not done.
I don't see new ones come up for him very often.
Well, I don't see very often either.
Yeah.
Because it's like he's got a full cast and you don't see new characters come up.
Well, I've been writing unless he
writes one for
Files.
A specific person.
I've been writing a story called The Wayward Files.
Oh, that's cool.
It's my
like the Rockford Files?
No. I guess I can tell you guys a little bit about my story. It's
story time.
Related.
Yeah, actually, I can bring that up and kind of go into that a little bit. Yeah. So, I said the Wayward Files. It's the Wayward Tales.
Wayward Tales. I was going to say, it sounds like the Rockford Files, but that makes sense.
No. So, and I was going to start off with like a narrator and stuff like that and be like, welcome to the Wayward Tales as we follow a man who was cryogenically frozen during the war and the devastated United States and left with nothing more than the wasteland, you know? And so blah, blah, blah. And the story goes on. He wakes up and he's in the middle of the wasteland. And I don't mean he's literally in the middle of the wasteland. He wakes up, he's inside of a facility actually. And he falls out of a cryogenic chamber. And he's, you know, what would you expect from somebody coming out of a cryogenic chamber?
Yeah, because you know, that's the thing about Fallout 4. Like, you've been frozen in a thing for like 200 years. You're going to have, like, you're not going to be able to just like walk out.
No, you're going to like stumble.
You're going to like fall down because your muscles are atrophied and, you know,
you're not going to be able to see very well. So
it's not going to be a good time.
He comes out of the cryogenic chamber and he hits the ground and he's trying to struggle his way up to his feet. But there's fire and there's all kinds of things going on around him. The facility's kind of falling apart,
like,
right?
During the war or?
No. This is after the war. He wakes up because his cryogenic, basically what was happening is the facility was like hit with a nuke or whatever. And, you know, stuff was happening and the facility was on fire and it's kind of like a factory burning down kind of situation. So
everything gets disrupted.
Yeah. He comes out of his cryogenic chamber and he's like, oh, he doesn't know what's going on. And I can't remember the designation offhand. Let me see if let me just scroll here real quick. I don't have my glasses on, but X002 is his. So X002 is his designation. X001, if anybody knows from the vault experimentation things, that's kind of the FV virus being utilized in a special particular vault. And he's X002, and he's kind of like Lilith in a way, as far as how he was experimented on. But he does not have the same lustful hunger as Lilith does. So
even better than Lilith
in that regard, but he's weakened. He's not as strong as Lilith. He's stronger than a regular human being. He's got a lot of abilities that he doesn't even know he has, to be honest with you. As a matter of fact, he didn't even know his own name. So what happens is he comes out of the cryogenic chamber and he's like, oh my God. And he's like trying to look around and there's fire and the explosions happening inside the building. He looks up and he can see this placard above there and it says Cooper. Right. And so he just sees Cooper and it's kind of like a flash. And then he's stumbling around trying to get his way out. He falls down into this like pool of water and you don't know why he's in this pool of water. He just falls in this pool of water inside the facility and he's trying to like, you know, not drown. And so as he's doing that, he ends up in like this, like, you know, ventilation shaft drainage ditch kind of thing. At least it's actually a ventilation shaft that's been overflowed with water. And so he's like swimming through this ventilation shaft and he ends up falling through and he comes and he barrels out of the building out of an external port out of the ventilation system out into the wasteland.
Wow. Like being born.
Yeah. Kind of like being born. Exactly. So as this has happening, he knows he needs to get away from this place. He doesn't know why, but he knows he needs right. to get away.
So there's a sense of danger.
Yeah, it is a sense of danger, and he's in flight mode, you know. Mm-hmm. And so he's
that's cool.
And he's disoriented, he's trying to walk, he's stumbling, and that's all you're really seeing for a while is this like weird environment that he's in. And so he gets to a certain point and he passes out. When he wakes up, he's coming to, and everything's a little fuzzy, and what the characters or what the people want, if this was something visual that you could see, all you're seeing is a wooden wagon wheel turning and you hear chains. And then he's starting to kind of come to, and he's inside of an old like circus trailer kind of thing that would hold like a lion or a tiger or a bear or something. And he's being pulled along and he's really groggy and he's looking around, and there's like these people walking, these raiders are walking next to it, and he's in this like prison cart.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shackled up and he's just kind of disoriented, and he's coming to. Across from him, there's somebody wearing like regular wasteland trader outfit kind of stuff, you know, with a hat and whatnot. And that person introduces himself to him. What did I name that character? Maxie the Trader. So, yeah. So actually, I could probably act it out a little bit here.
If you want to give That's us some cool. lines, we can.
Hey, buddy, you don't look so good. Raider guard goes, no talking. He's no good to you, Dad. Look at him. He looks like he's been chewed up and spit out like a piece of dry meat. He won't last the night at this rate. No talking. The guard says once more, throwing a warning look at the other prisoner. Maxie mutters under his breath, don't worry, kid. Old Maxie will get us out of this one. You're going to owe me. Then the narrator says, what appears to be the next night, or our character wakes up to a crackling campfire and the smell of food cooking. The guy he saw earlier, and oh, that's right. I skipped some parts there. So what happens at this point is while Maxie the Trader is talking to him, Cooper, which we don't know his name is Cooper yet. He doesn't know his name's Cooper yet, but that's later on. We're going to call him Cooper. So he starts to talk, and the guard rifle butts him in the head and knocks him out cold. So that's where he passes back out. So once he passes back out, when he comes to again, all of a sudden he's sitting at a campfire and it's crackling and whatnot. And Maxie the Trader has gotten him away from the raiders in a way that no clue how.
We don't know. Yeah.
No idea. It's just he's sitting there going, hey, kid, how you doing? You don't look so good. Here, have something to eat. You know, and he's trying to take care of him in a way. Yeah, I'm using my old man voice. I don't know why. I just picked it real quick. You hungry? You sure look like shit, kid. What's your name? Cooper. You can call me Cooper, I think. And then Maxie goes, well, Cooper, you got lucky back there. You were on your way to slavery camp till some military types showed up and shot the place to shit. I dragged you out of there during the confusion. Well, thank you, Maxie, but why help me? I'm a traitor, kid. I go with my gut, and I don't ask questions. It's how I've survived this long. It's best you don't think about it too much. Well, thanks all the same, Maxie. I owe you. So what the hell were you doing out here, way out here in the middle of nowhere in the first place, face down in the dirt? Honestly, Maxie, I have no idea. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure my name is Cooper. I saw it on a chamber I woke up from in some facility and started walking. I'm not sure why, but I was sure I didn't want to stay there. Damn! Memory loss? That sucks. Well, shit. I got someone who might be able to put a roof over your head and fill your belly. But you've got some work. You got to work for it, though. She's a really nice lady as long as you don't cross her. It just so happens that I know she's in need of a courier to run messages back and forth. We can be there by tomorrow afternoon. Sound good to you? Sounds good. Maxie, thank you. Don't thank me, kid. You haven't seen my bill. Now let's get some sleep. We can leave at first light. Sorry about my shitty acting. I'm trying to read and act at the same time. But you guys get the gist of the idea, what's going on here?
All right, no, I like it.
What is going on is, so Maxie helps him make his way to the Wayward, the bar we love so much.
Right.
Okay. So
she helps him out.
Exactly. So what happens is that the owner of the bar, which we all know, hires him as a courier. And what happens is Cooper starts going around all around the wasteland, delivering courier messages and things like that. And at the same time, getting himself into crazy little adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And during those crazy adventures, he starts learning about his abilities. And mm-hmm. what happens is he'll go and he'll get into this, you know, situation where he'll end up taking a message to, say, Beleria over at the Enclave camp. And then from there, Beleria sends him to another location because she needs to have, you know, needs to transport something to some other group to make sure that they got proper, you know, food, water, weapons, whatever, and they hire him to go take care of that. During that, he ends up getting into, you know, trouble in some sort, or he ends up taking care of somebody else's side mission, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so during these little different side missions and stuff, he obviously learns his abilities and things like that, and he takes that back to the Wayward. Here, completed the mission for the day. He walks through the door, and it's just like Norm coming into the bar at Cheers. And when he walks in, everybody goes, "Cooper!" Yay! You know, and he comes in, he sits down, and he's got his own kind of guy that, you know, let's just say for argument's sake, he's got a ghoul sitting there at the bar who likes to, you know, teach people how to make camps and stuff. And he has conversations with that guy, and that guy's kind of like his buddy Carl, you know. But it's not his buddy Carl. It's his buddy, whatever the hell his name is in the game. I can't remember.
Moriarty.
Yeah. So he's like, "Hey, Moriarty, how's you doing, man?" No, I just, dude, it's crazy shit in the wasteland. I don't understand it. And they get into conversations and they're talking there. And while that's happening, the bartender's cracking jokes with them, making fun of the situation that he got into. And there's going to be some sort of dynamic inside that bar that's going to be similar to the experiences that you would have by watching the TV show Cheers.
Right.
So there would be some
funny because it's like you've got this like tie-in of like three different Fallout games and Cheers.
Yeah, exactly. So, and by having those different dynamics combined together and being able to utilize the same universes as the Modus Files, Once Upon mm-hmm. a Wasteland, and maybe we can even get Walter and Bunny involved, you know?
Yeah, once Walter and Bunny come to the Wasteland, they might. Well,
somehow.
They might.
Somebody had to go? No. Anyway, so that's the premise of the show that I'm coming up with, and it's just basically a situation like Cheers. And what it's going to do is it's going to have one large story arc, which is based on Cooper figuring out who he is,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. Cooper's not Cooper. If anybody didn't figure that out already.
I assumed Cooper was like the brand that made the thing.
No,
oh, no. Okay.
No. If you do research on, if I can figure out which vault that was, I forgot which vault I chose. I think it was like Vault 96 or something like that. I can't remember which vault I used. It's been a while since I messed with this storyline. So, mm-hmm. But I used one of the vaults from 76, and within that vault's underlying arc, they did experimentation and stuff like that. And they had cryogenic chambers in there.
Right.
And Cooper was one of the doctors.
The doctors. Okay.
And that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
X-002 is one of Cooper's experiments, because in reality Cooper is not Cooper is X-002.
Okay. Yeah. But he's right.
Yeah, because he's not really like he's basically a lab rat.
I just figured when you said he looked up, he saw Cooper. I guess he saw the doctor's name.
Yeah, he saw the doctor's name.
I didn't know if it was like he looked up and saw like, you know, GE or, you know, whatever. And like, that's my name.
Yeah, my name's General Electric. No.
Right.
But that's what the premise was, is that it was going to be revolving around that kind of a situation. So if that interests people, and it seems to, that's
that sounds pretty intriguing.
That's the project that I've been.
It is 96.
Stepped in and stepped out.
Vault 63, yeah. We haven't been in yet.
Yeah.
And Vault 96 is the one because there's some daily ops in there. And then I go in there once in a while and take pictures in my, when we first got the ski poses, I went in and took pictures like sliding down the hill.
So Cooper is specifically mentioned in some of the lore involved.
Yeah, when you go through the terminals and stuff like that. The others, holotapes. And
that's what I did, is I crawled through the game and I was like, okay, how can I create something completely original out of something that is pre-existing? So I was like, I'm going to create somebody that doesn't exist. But
well, you can tell that they were doing experiments and stuff there, because everywhere you go, there's like, autopsied bodies and stuff all over that vault.
Well, and then I wanted a character that was like Lilith, but not like Lilith, because I didn't want somebody, I was trying to get away from the whole just need for just totally
eating all the time,
eating humans, and
I'm so
kind of like a good version of it, you know.
I'm so hungry. So hungry.
And some of it can be a little bit over dramatic sometimes. I don't know. But as it goes on, it's going to be a lot of comedy and goofy messing around while they're in the bar,
right?
And then once he leaves the bar, it's almost going to be like Cage Chronicles series.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, Cage Chronicles had some lighthearted moments.
Well,
too.
You're going to always have lighthearted moments, but like the comedy, the actual ha-ha is going to be while he's in that bar.
Right.
And sometimes there'll be some bleed through with some serious stuff happening within the bar because it applies to the story at the time, especially once he gets further into understanding who he is.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah, for sure.
And yeah, because I mean, there's a lot of implications here, you know, as far as the who is doing these experiments.
Right.
You know, he needs to know who he is. And once he figures out who he is, then he's got to figure out, well, now that I know who I am, what am I going to do with what I am?
And what you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's kind of like Spider-Man, you know. With great power comes great responsibility. So if he's got that element to him, you know, he's figured out that I've got a lot of power and it's been given to me by these evil sources that were planning to use me for evil reasons. And I'm not that kind of person. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be somebody. So he's choosing who he wants to be. And still there's times where his animal rage might come over because he is controlled by an FEV virus, so there's gonna be times where, you know, he's
like
emotionally heightened in a sense,
like the Hulk.
yeah but yeah, it's cool. Kind of like a balance of holding control of yourself, but at the same time it's kind of like once you've gotten a new power and you don't know how to use it, it's hard to control, but once you've learned that power for a while and learn to control it, then it becomes easier and easier. It's the same thing with his aggression. You know, he could easily snap somebody's head just by being angry and grabbing them.
Yeah.
But he's got to learn to control that. You know what I mean? Hey, he's got a lot. He's got like super mutant strength, like physical strength, but he doesn't have all of the like immunities and things like Lilith has. You know, Lilith's got damn near immortality.
Yeah. Pretty much. Oh, yeah. I mean, she's had caves dropped on her and.
Yeah, well,
couple times.
he can take a large amount of damage, and he is incredibly strong. But he's not like further exposure to radiation. He's not immune to radiation.
Oh, okay.
Like, if he was exposed to regular radiation, it would affect him. You know what I mean? It would.
Yeah, he can't just like walk into a nuke zone and be fine.
No. It would actually start if he was to. Theoretically, if he was to be put into a radioactive situation, he would have the same thing happen to him as any other human, is he would start turning into a ghoul. Right. You know, but he does.
That's it's a very strong ghoul.
Yeah. Well, very no, because if he turned into a ghoul, it would actually just take everything that was part of him and weaken him and turn him into nothing.
Interesting. That's how you counteract
it. It would be the one way to counter it's his kryptonite.
Interesting. Too bad that doesn't work on super mutants.
Yeah, the radiation actually, because of the particular strain that he had, it works against him to be in a radioactive environment.
And whoever came up with that in development, you know, that's not like the greatest way to make your virus in a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
Where everything's radiated.
Yeah, well, the whole concept behind it was trying to create the perfect soldier, and they had gone and tried so many different things. This just so happened to be yet another type of strain. This particular strain does not work well with radiation, but it's much more stable.
Right.
So it basically, he has the same immunity to radiation as a regular human being. So he needs to protect himself. But the particular elements that he was exposed to gave him superhuman strength and, you know, endurance and things like that. His physicality is enhanced, but it's not, he's not massive. He's not a big, huge guy. You know, he's probably 6'2", maybe 175, 180 pounds. Actually, he's a little heavier than that, about 200 pounds. You know, 200 pounds, solid build, not necessarily like ripped, like soldier crazy, but like he looks like a typical human soldier that works out, but not in a incredible crazy way where he's got an 8-pack and all that shit. But he has incredible strength and certain abilities. Other than that, he's pretty much normal. You know, but he doesn't realize that stuff, but he might have some other things that pop up down the road. Like he might have the ability to understand things that he doesn't necessarily know he should understand, and how to work certain types of equipment and things automatically without ever knowing he learned it. That kind of thing.
Kind of those things that like muscle memory.
Well, muscle memory, as far as combat is concerned, yes. But it's kind of like a...
Well, like a brain memory kind of thing, but your brain's a muscle. So it's...
Well, when you say brain memory, I'm referring to something like, let's say when you're stuck in one of those chairs.
Like I know how to do a task.
Yeah. He knows how to do certain things like reprogram certain types of computers, launch nuclear missiles. He understands how ancient styled military equipment works, you know, things like
but
that.
But he doesn't know how he understands it.
He doesn't know how
he doesn't remember like why he should know that.
Yeah. Or he'll understand certain things about chemistry or, you know, or biology and, you know, flora and fauna and things like that. And he has all this plethora of knowledge that he has no idea how the hell he knows this stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's pretty interesting.
And it'll all break down into the kind of experimentation they were doing on him. Huh. Who are they? Bum, bum, bum.
That's always the question, isn't it? Who are they?
Is it the Enclave? I don't know.
I don't know, because I'm beginning to think that the Enclave isn't even the big baddie.
Is it the Institute? I don't know.
Is there a bigger, more sinister character at play here?
Is it the Pack? I don't know.
Is it the Brotherhood of Steel?
Spoiler alert, since you're behind. Brotherhood of Steel. I feel like they're not even in league. They're not even in league here. They're not even in the running.
They have really cool equipment.
That's about it.
Anyway,
they have toys. They've got cool toys.
that's my story. So
that's pretty cool. Can't wait to see more of that. Yeah, you should work on that.
Yeah. Well, I've got to come up with an ending. I had a concept that's so far. And so that concept, and I basically wrote episode one out of like how he kind of stumbles into Maxie and gets to the bar. And then I'm like, okay, where do I go from here? So now I got to figure out how this ends. Once I figure out how this ends, then I can start building something, because I got to figure out the ending. And within the ending, that'll give me my main characters. And from my main characters, now I need to build a supporting cast. That supporting cast, then from there, I can start building a much larger universe, so to speak.
Well, that's usually the thing, right? Because if you know how it ends, then it's easier to figure out how to get there.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of just wandering off in 25 different directions and then never coming to a stop.
That'll give me my main arc. And then from the main arc, what I can do is write little side missions.
Little side quests, yeah.
And what I'm trying to do is kind of like you can do with the True Vault Escapades in a way where you don't have to start listening from the beginning.
Yeah, well, so that's what I was thinking with you. Like, I was like, okay, you've got... It's kind of like any good TV show that's a serial. It's like you've got the underlying story that goes, that threads through the whole thing.
That'll make you want to go listen from
right.
the beginning.
But each episode is like a self-contained like mystery or whatever.
Think of it so as each,
like a self-contained adventure or whatever.
Think of it this way. It's like evangelism.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got this exciting thing. Oh, let's check this out. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, you go and you get to see the concert and, you know, then the, hey, everybody come on, and, you know, and all that's happening. And what that does is it draws you in.
Right.
And it's an interesting enough little story to escape for about a half an hour to an hour. Oh, but what's this underlining thing? What's that? Mm-hmm. Oh, so I have to go back and listen to what's going on.
Yeah.
Over here.
If you want to learn more about that, you have to come back.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, it's and that's what I like about good shows like that, because you always have that underlying thing that keeps you coming, even though if you can jump in the middle because it's self-contained for that particular adventure or whatever. But, you know, for the people who are like in the know, they know that like there's more to it than just the weekly or whatever adventure.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
All right.
People are like, oh, that's such a good thing. And it's like, but you don't realize that there's this whole undercurrent of like this whole thing going through that ties everything together.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's my first real step in a like long story arc.
I like it.
Writing. I've done a lot of short stories and things like that in the past, and like poetry and stuff like that. And, you know, I've never really dug into writing a book or a story like long term. And I'm like, okay, so if I'm going to do it, I want to do it in a way where people can show up at any time and get interested into like the singular elements, as opposed to they showed up in episode 8 and they're like, what the hell's going
I'm
on?
I'm so lost. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like,
what's going on?
Well, I don't want to start
here.
Listening to it because I have to go back and pick up the other, you know, 15 episodes.
That's why I like how like True Vault Escapades is like, hello, everybody. And in today's episode, Walter and Bunny are going to get into an adventure where they're stuck with the mask. Yeah, that's right. This guy, he's a crazy bastard. What he did is he's, you know, and they kind of walk you through today's adventure. And how are they going to get through this one? Dun, dun, dun. You know, I don't know how this is going to work, you know, but then you can do that with this whole story arc and have it where, you know, and then something within that kind of reminds you of this other thing going on.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be in every episode either. You know what I mean? It's like, all of a sudden the mystery man is behind the tree. He's like, okay, it looks like subject number... It looks like subject X-002 has found himself, he's interacting with the other humans actually quite normally. Yeah, we should follow him a little closer.
He's drinking at a bar, like regular schmo.
I don't think he has any, I don't think he has any idea of level of his power. Yes, sir, I'll continue to follow.
He knows nothing.
And then you'll have these little things going on in the background like that. And then it's like somebody who just came in and be like, what the hell is that about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, why would somebody be watching this guy?
I got to see the next episode. And then in the next episode, there's something else where they're keeping tabs on him, or, you know, they sent somebody to test him.
Right.
Like, well, let's see how good he is with his cognitive problem solving situations. Let's have him. Yes. Let's set up. Let's set up area 773 and we'll create a situation where he's got to walk through there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because he got away doesn't mean they can't keep studying him, right?
Give him a courier mm-hmm. job where he ends up walking through an area and he falls through, and all of a sudden he's in this new vault area, and within that vault, he's got to find his way back out of there. And they had set it up as like this, you know, mousetrap situation where he's running around, got to figure out his way out of there. And they want to find out his problem solving skills and things like that. And so they watch and observe him, you know, and he doesn't know he's being watched and observed. He gets out of the situation and is like, what the hell was that all about? And then he goes back to his job, yeah. gets his courier job finished, goes back to the bar and goes, man, you wouldn't believe what the hell happened to me today.
Yeah. Remember that parking garage full of traps in Fallout 4?
Yeah, know, something like that. And then all of a sudden it closed up on me. And then
went in there.
And there's like 900 ghouls chasing traps me around.
And yeah. flamethrowers everywhere.
You remember that one parking garage you go into? Well, I can't remember which game it is, but once you go in, it closes behind you and it's all dark and underground. And it's just cars and like wet concrete ground. And you have ghouls chasing you around and stuff. I think it's actually trying to remember. But anyway, that whole area can be utilized as something in that story uh-huh. arc. You know, just anything like that, or I could invent the area. Who cares? You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was concept. That's what I'm working on.
Cool. Sounds very cool.
Nice.
Ever get around to actually doing something. It's just getting the actors together. And then I got to figure out how to do the ambiance and the music. Yeah. And, you know, because, I mean, obviously I've got people to lean on for that.
I was going to say, you know who to ask.
Yeah, I just go to Lawrence and Brad and, you know, and Preston and talk to those guys. And, of course, Preston doesn't do that stuff. He's got his own.
I think he's doing more than he makes it sound. Because well, when I interviewed
he did
him.
When he started, when he first yeah. started, he was doing all of it himself. Yeah. But
and he's I think he's doing some more.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that but the guy he gives all the credit to, which I can't remember his name at the moment. I mean, obviously,
Ethan.
Yeah. I'm sure I can reach out through Preston to him as well to
yeah
get advice and things like that. And possibly yeah. they may even, you know,
yeah,
you do there's this, you do that. People. Boom, 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 boom. This is mm-hmm. how it goes, you know. Maybe yeah. they'll find some resources for me and help me out in that regard so it doesn't cost me a fortune.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, and I know it takes, you know, from experience of talking to Lawrence, it takes a good 30 hours just to do an episode.
Yeah, it has to. I mean, when you do yeah. one like they do, I mean, he has sound going. There's like no dead air space in his episodes.
No, and there shouldn't be. Like, you know, you should have that ambient, even that. Mm-hmm.
There's always, yeah. Either you can hear people walking over gravel or you hear crickets or yeah. I mean, there's just music. I mean, there's always something.
Well, when you're dealing with the mole miners and you're out in that area, you can actually yeah. hear the equipment in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you've got a good mental picture of the area anyway, because you've yeah. been in the area where the, right. you know, where I thought it was funny when Valeria was trying to like say her name in the show.
I don't know if anybody yeah. knows how to say that.
That's the end of my story.
I think we're all getting tired too.
Yeah, I gotta go. I think early. It's time to go.
I think Mav's already asleep with his eyes open.
No.
Well, that's gonna do it for me. No one does.
Yeah, nobody knows how to say it.
Yeah.
Mama Murphy or whatever is what I think of when I try and say it.
Well, for those of you out there that have heard this today, now you know Drive Jacks is nuts, and so he can get you guys your wonderful story.
Keep him motivated.
Yeah.
Just poke the bear and make him motivate him.
You need to go right. You need to go right. You need to go right.
In right. his free time.
Yeah, because so I have that. I have tons of free time. Everybody knows that.
So much free time.
So much.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need to sleep, Jaxus. Just give that up, and you've got plenty of time.
Well, I get about 4 hours or five.
I was going to say probably about 4 hours more to write.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, folks, that's going to do us up for us tonight. Matt, you can tell us to say goodnight.
Good morning.
Yeah. See? See you later, guys.
This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
How well do you know your video game lovers?
Have you ever wondered how your video game bays stack up against all the other delectable digital dates?
I'm Genesis, the girl whose motto in life is love, laugh, tequila. And on Two Girls, One Ship, we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer.
And I'm Vervada, the hopeless romantic cat lady and lifelong gamer.
But you should know that our podcast centers on character and romance analysis and doesn't shy away from exploring the fun of physical connection.
Or from the deep emotional connections built between two characters, using specific in-game dialogue and the overall narrative journey. So join the Two Girls, One Ship shipsters, and remember,
beauty is in the eye of the controller.